Good morning again, Yorkson community. Buenos dias, amigos. It's good to be with you this morning to worship God together. For those who may not know me, my name is Ben Fredrickson. Usually these days, you will find me at the Willowbrook campus of North Langley Community Church. But I also know many of you here. I look out this morning, and as I was here for setup this morning, I see so many faces of people that I know and that I love. To be honest, it's a little dark, so it's hard to see the people in the back, but I know that you're there, and I see you too. my wife Lillian and I were part of the Yorkson launch 10 years ago, along with Pastor Jeff and Michelle and a team of people. And we were part of this community for 5 years, attending here. Two out of our three girls were dedicated right here up front in this community, with many of you gathered around them to pray for them. So as I stand here this morning, I know in some way, some of the pain, the anger, the confusion, the grief that you are feeling, that many of you are feeling today. And if I'm honest, I'm feeling many of those things too. I can't stand here and pretend that everything is fine, that I'm fine, because it's not. I'm here today because I love Yorkson, I love this community, and I love our church. And I care about our church. And so the question that we want to wrestle with today is, where do we go to find hope and healing and strength when we're hurting? Where do we go to find hope, healing, and strength when we're hurting? When it feels like our lives have been turned upside down? And I want to broaden that out to say, not just in this moment for Yorkson that many of you are walking through, but in any storm in our lives, in any moment in our lives where we feel like things are just upside down and we don't understand what's going on and we're hurting. And maybe you are a visitor here today and you're stepping in and you're not quite sure what's going on here at Yorkson, but you're here today because you want to worship God. Maybe a friend invited you. We're so glad that you're here. We want you to encounter Jesus here. But there will be storms that you walk through in your life as well. And maybe if you look back on your life, there are things that have happened in your past that you can point to and say, yeah, that was a hard time. So where do we find hope, healing, and strength? Today we're going to look at Psalm 84 to answer that question together. And if you're wondering, yes, our church still is in a series in Revelation. We're going to get back to that, I think, next week. But today we're going to stay in the Psalms. I know that last week Christy led the church here in a reflection on Psalm 46. And the Psalms are such a great resource in the Bible. As you read through the Psalms, you see that they reflect this whole range of human emotions. There's a lot of joy and praise, but there's also anger. There's grief. There's confusion. There's depression. The Psalms are raw and they're real. They are the cry of the soul to God. If you've ever worried that you can't say something to God, you're like, oh, I can't say that to God. That's too honest. That's too real. Read the Psalms. You will be shocked and surprised by the things that are in God's word that the psalmist calls out to God. And I think the important thing is to remember is that it's in the context of sharing and speaking with God. It's not just putting it out there. It's directing it to God and saying, God, you can take it. So I'm bringing it to you, and I'm carrying these emotions to you. I'm going to read Psalm 84 for us here. Invite you just to listen if you want. You can even close your eyes. Don't fall asleep, but close your eyes if you want. Psalm 84. It will be on the screen behind me here as well. So if you like to visually see the words, you can look at them there. So this is Psalm 84 from the NIV. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Friends, this is God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words that you gave the psalmist to record here. We thank you for the honesty and the emotion with which we can come to you. And so, God, we come to you this morning with everything that we're carrying from the last couple weeks, from what we're carrying this morning, God, as we come into these doors. Lord, we bring it to you. We ask that you would speak to us. We pray that our hearts would be open to you, that they would be soft to you as we call out to you. Help us to hear from you this morning. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, this morning we're going to go through the psalm, not quite line by line, but almost. And we're going to focus on a few of the verses a bit more closely. And remember, the question that we're asking, that we're reflecting on together this morning is, where can we go to find hope and healing and strength in times when we're hurting? And a couple of times this morning, we're going to pause. This might feel a little bit different for you in a sermon, but we're going to pause. There's a Hebrew word, Selah, that shows up in many of the Psalms. And translators aren't exactly sure, actually, what to do with this word or what it means. Their best guess is that it's kind of a musical term that simply means pause, stop. So that's what we're going to do. A couple times in the message today, we're going to stop. We're going to pause, reflect. We're going to allow God's word to sink into our hearts. And we're going to allow our hearts to respond to his word. Okay, verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. The psalmist starts off with this declaration. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. How lovely, how beautiful is a place where you are God. Now for the psalmist writing this, God's dwelling place was his temple. Right? The temple that King Solomon had built in Jerusalem, this beautiful temple with carved cedar paneling, with gold inlay, with these amazing stonework and pillars. It was the place where God's presence literally dwelled in the Holy of Holies, above this Ark of the Covenant. God's presence was pictured resting there above that ark. And so to be in the temple, even to be kind of on the outside of the temple, in the courtyards around the temple, was to be as close to the presence of the living God as you could be. That's where you want to be. Now, fast forward a couple of centuries. Solomon's beautiful temple has been destroyed. King Herod has rebuilt the temple, and it's nice. It's a nice temple, but it's not the same, because God's presence no longer dwells there. After God's people had sinned and rejected him, God's presence is pictured as actually leaving the temple. You can read about that in Ezekiel chapter 10. It's like lifting up like a cloud and moving out from the temple. And so this new temple doesn't have God's presence in it in the same way. But along comes this radical teacher, and he makes some pretty big claims that the presence of the living God is in him, that he, in fact, is the living God. The presence of God with his people, that he's Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now we know him as Jesus. And now you don't have to go to a temple anymore to meet with God. In Jesus, he's come down to earth to be one of us. And in Jesus' life, all kinds of people were drawn to him. People wanted to be near him. They were like, how close can I get to Jesus? I want to be close to Jesus. They were drawn to him, because they sensed in him the presence of the living God. But when Jesus returned to his Father in heaven after he was resurrected, he gave a gift to his disciples, actually before he left, but he gave a gift to his disciples, his followers. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and he breathed on them. And they were filled with his Spirit, with his presence. And he promised that same gift, that same Spirit, to all who would believe in him, who would trust in him. To us, today. Friends, if we put our trust in Jesus, and if we follow him, then he lives in us by his Holy Spirit. His presence is in us. He's among us. And so together, right here, we are his dwelling place, his temple. When we gather to worship God, to lift up the name of Jesus as we're doing right here this morning, Yorkson, his presence is with us. His Spirit is right here. I can't think of a better place to be when you're hurting, when you're confused, when you feel lost, than to be in God's presence with God's people. How lovely, how beautiful is your dwelling place, O God. Look around you. It's just an elementary gym with folding chairs, but it's beautiful. It's lovely because God is here, dwelling amongst his people. This is where he dwells when we come together to worship him. And in worship, our hearts start to soften. We get reoriented to God, to his vision for our lives, to his heart for us. So the psalmist goes on to say in verse 2, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God." It's this picture, right, of intense longing and desire. My whole self, my body, my soul, all of me longs for you, God, to be with you, to be close to you, to be near you. Every part of me longs for your presence. When our daughter, Ren, was about 3 years old, she's five now, she used this funny expression to talk about herself sometimes. She would say, "my whole self body." This is like her way of saying, "all of me." We thought this was pretty cute. So Lillian, my wife, and I, we would start to use that phrase with our kids and sometimes just use it between each other sometimes. As in, "I played soccer yesterday and man, my whole self body is still sore." The psalmist wants to be near God, his whole self body. When our lives feel upside down, when we're hurting, we want to be near God, the living God. It's only in his presence that things are put in perspective, that we find strength to face the day, as the worship song goes, that our fears are washed away. And like a deer that pants for streams of living water, our souls long for the living God. Like a person starving for food, we yearn to be satisfied with what only God can feed us with for our souls. When we're hurting, when we're confused, when we're angry, when we're grieving, God invites us to come to him with urgency, crying out to him. Selah. Stop. Reflect. In your own heart, right now, in the next moment, cry out to God with the questions, the feelings that you're carrying right now. Just going to give us a minute of silence here, just to cry out to God in your own heart, those things that you're carrying this morning. Let's go on to verse 3. "Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God." I love this picture. God's temple is a place of safety and refuge, not just for the psalmist, not just for human beings, but even for the birds of the air. How many of you know what a sparrow looks like? Before we throw that image up there, Colin, how many of you know what a sparrow looks like? If you're like, "I think I know what a sparrow looks like." Okay, a couple of you. Okay, we got some birders in the room. This is good. Let's show a picture of that one there. Yeah, that's a really pretty sparrow there. But sparrows, they're just about one of the most ordinary birds in the world, right? They're small and brown. They're not necessarily anything fancy to look at. They're not colorful like a parrot or majestic and powerful like an eagle. But even they have a home near God's presence. Now swallows, you can show the next picture there, they're a bit more exciting and colorful, right? They fly through the air, if you've ever watched swallows, snatching up flies and mosquitoes. I just learned this little fact the other night. A single barn swallow can eat up to 850 insects a day. That's incredible. If you've got mosquito problems, invite some swallows over to your house. One of my favorite things to do, like in the summer evenings, is if I'm at a lake or a pond or something like that, is just to watch the swallows as they're flying and diving catching these insects in the air. It's just, it's mesmerizing. You watch them, you have no idea where they're going to go, and it's just this beautiful dance of birds flying. They're marvelous creatures, but they're just birds. And this verse makes me think of Jesus' words to his followers in Luke chapter 12. Jesus is teaching them not to worry about food, not to worry about their clothes, what they wear. And he says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Jesus points out to his followers, if God the Father cares for the birds of the air, the ravens, the sparrows, the swallows, how much more will he care for you? You're infinitely more valuable than birds. He cares about you more than you can imagine. He knows what you need. And if even the sparrow and the swallow can find a home in God's temple, how much more will we be able to find a home in God? A place where we find safety and refuge. If even the swallow can build a nest for her young in God's temple, how much more can we find a home in God? Selah. Pause. Stop. Reflect. How have you experienced God as a place of refuge and shelter in your life? Just think back as far as you need to in your life. How have you experienced God as a place of refuge and shelter in your life? It's going to take another moment of silence. Let's go on to verses 5 and 6. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Now, the image here is kind of a group of pilgrims traveling through the dry desert of Israel, making their way towards Jerusalem, towards the city, the temple, and God's presence there. And as they travel, they go through this valley of Baca. Now, the New Living Translation, if you use that, translates this literally as the valley of weeping. The valley of weeping. On our way to God, on our pilgrimage, our journey to God, we will pass through valleys of weeping. Maybe some of you feel like you're walking through that valley right now. Maybe some of you remember times in the past when you've had to walk through a valley of tears. All of us will have to pass through that kind of a valley someday. Maybe it's a cancer diagnosis. Maybe it's a relationship that ends. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. But the psalmist says that even as we walk through this valley of tears, it can become a place of refreshment, of springs. Springs of fresh water in the dry desert. What a beautiful image of hope and new life. My brother and his family worked for several years in Africa, right on the edge of the Sahara Desert. This is not where they lived, but they lived in a place that was literally surrounded by sand dunes. It's like sand dunes right up to the edge of their village. It was hot. It was dry. There was nothing green growing at all. There was no grass. The local goats actually ate cardboard. Like, that was what they had to eat to survive. It's crazy. But a few hours away, there was an oasis, a little bit like this one. This is not actually it, but something like that. A pool of fresh water surrounded by palm trees. And my brother sent me pictures of his family swimming in this oasis. I think of that oasis when I read these verses in Psalm 84. A place of springs in the middle of the desert. I think of Jesus' words in John chapter 7. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this, Jesus meant the Spirit. Friends, as we walk through the valleys of weeping in our lives, in this life, when our hearts are set on God, longing to be near him, he can transform them into springs of life-giving water. When we put our hope, our trust in Jesus, he fills us with his life-giving Spirit. And that life starts to flow through us and bless others as well. God's grace can transform our pain, our brokenness, into healing and hope. For us and for those around us, rivers of living water flowing from us out to others. Let's look now at the last verse I want to focus on today, verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Many of you probably recognize those words from the worship song by Matt Redman, which is, of course, based on this psalm. As I was preparing this message, that song just kind of kept playing in the back of my head. The line also actually makes me think of high school. I went to a Christian high school, and once a week we would have chapel. So we'd actually leave our school building, we'd walk over to the little church that was on the property where we were, and we'd go into church for chapel there. And I remember one of my teachers, his nickname was T. Everyone just called him T. And he would stand at the door, and he'd hold the door open for students as they walked in, and he would use this line on us. He'd just have this big grin on his face, and he'd say, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." So I think of tea, and I think of that when I read these words. I'm thinking maybe our greeters here, maybe the greeters at Yorkson should use that line when people come in. The psalmist, right? He's so desperate. So yearning, desperate to be near God, to be in his presence, that he would take one day in God's presence over 1,000 days anywhere else. And he'd rather be on the fringes of the temple. He'd rather be sort of on the outside, on the outskirts of the temple, a doorkeeper, than to be living in the tents of the wicked. Or again, as the New Living Translation puts it, than to live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Better to be a doorkeeper close to God than to live in the lap of luxury apart from God. And friends, do we have that same longing for God, for his presence, to be close to him? Even if it means giving up some of what the world claims to be the good life. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 11 and 12, the end of the psalm here, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." This is a picture of overwhelming blessing. God doesn't withhold any good thing from us when we trust in him. Now, I have to clarify here. This is not a promise that your life will be easy. This is not a promise that you will get that new truck that you're really wanting, or that new video game, or whatever it is that you really want. But it's a promise that God will give us the good that we need. He's going to be a sun to give us life, to brighten our darkness and lighten us. He's going to be a shield to protect us from the lies and the attacks of the enemy. He gives us his favor and his honor. Friends, God has given us all of these things, most supremely in his Son Jesus, who loved us, who gave himself for us, so that we might have life. And God continues to pour out himself, his favor, his love, his grace, through his Spirit working in us today. So friends, let me ask that question again that I started with. Where do we find hope and healing and strength when we're hurting? Psalm 84, the psalmist points us to God, to the life-giving presence of God, as the only place where we can find hope and healing and strength, to be near to him, like a sparrow to find a home close to God, to worship him together with other pilgrims on the journey, to receive the gift of his Spirit, to receive the gift of his Son Jesus, the grace that he gives us through him, and the gift of living waters as his Spirit lives in us. We're going to close in prayer here. Worship team, you guys are welcome to come on up. I'm going to pause again, though, just for a few moments of silence. One more pause. Selah. Pause. Reflect. Stop. And in that pause, I want you to ask yourself, what is God speaking to you today? Is there a line or an image from the psalm that you want to take with you today? Is there something that God stirred in your heart this morning through the worship or through the message that you want to take with you today? Just meditate on that, reflect on that. God, I thank you this morning that we can come to be near you, to be in your presence. God, we've sung of your faithfulness this morning. We thank you that you are faithful to us in every season of our lives, including a season of storm, of grief. Thank you that we can find refuge and shelter under your wings. God, this morning I want to pray for my friends here at Yorkson, for this community. God, that you would be near to them, God, and that they would be drawn to be close to you, that they would find in you hope and healing and strength. God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on all of us here. Pour out your life-giving Spirit to flow into us, to touch the places that feel dry now. God, to become a river of life. God, we need more of you. We need you to fill us, to overwhelm us again with your love and your grace and your mercy. So we call on your name. In Jesus' name, amen.